Hey, good morning, everybody. Boker Tov. Thank you so much for coming. It's good to see you all here. Good to see some new faces. Always good to have visitors. I'd like to thank our sponsors for the year. The Shirim for 2024 have been sponsored anonymously by Le'ilu Nishmois, Bran Elbas Branded, and Zerik Ben Kalman, Zichronim Libracha. And we're very, very grateful for that. If I could just ask you to turn off your phones. I do this every week, and every week some people listen and some people half listen. So let's see if we can do it this week. We are continuing with a series on Minhagim, and we've been doing all sorts of interesting things. A few weeks ago we did milk for Shavuos, and then we did a more general shir on Minhag. And then we had a shir on Hagbash. Before that we did something else. What did we do before Hagbash? We did weddings, that's right. We did the different chuppot, the chupp in the morning, the chupp in the afternoon. And last time we did Hagbah as well. This time and next time, I'd like to talk about a part of our davening which is exceptionally minhag heavy, which is the issue of Kaddish. I've never spoken about Kaddish before. It became clear to me halfway through the preparing the shir that it was going to have to spread into two shirim. It was just too much once I get over 9 pages on my... even I can't get through more than that. So next week I'd like to focus on specifically on Mourner's Kaddish, which has quite a different minhag history to it. It obviously grows out of Kaddish. And also next week, hopefully, we will be able to do both, look at the issue of women saying Kaddish, which is obviously a contemporary question, and quite, I don't know if widespread is the word, but a broadening minhag that women say Kaddish in shul in a way that perhaps 50 years ago they didn't, although having said that, that's not true, because my great-grandmother from Ritzava said Kaddish for her father in the early 1900s, and we'll talk about that next week as well. But that's for next week. Today we have to do some groundwork, which is try and understand what's really going on with Kaddish. Where does it come from? It doesn't seem to come from the same place as a lot of our other prayers. It's in Aramaic, or is it in Aramaic? Actually, if you add up, I looked at Kaddish Yatam, Mourner's Kaddish, of the 75 words in Kaddish Yatam, only 47 are in Aramaic. Actually, the others are all in Hebrew. Why are we having this hybrid tefillah? And we will see today. Today will take us on the road less traveled. We will go through many books of Tanakh, not just Torah, but Nevi'im and Ksuvim as well. We'll look at a lot of Midrashim. We will get a little bit into the world of Kabbalah. We will also drift briefly from the Jewish Bible into the non-Jewish biblical text, just very briefly to compare and contrast. So we'll see as we go along. One thing is for sure, Kaddish has caught the imagination not just of the religious Jewish world, but of the non-religious Jewish world. There's so much emphasis in the secular Jewish world, the world of the arts, some literature, of music, of Kaddish. Just, I'm more of a music person. Two great Leonards come to mind. Leonard Cohen, with his focus on Kaddish, and honestly, more to my taste, Leonard Bernstein, which is, and his third symphony was called the Kaddish Symphony. Kaddish is very much captured the imagination of the Jews because I think it's to do with the dead, which it's not necessarily, but we'll get to that next week. Ultimately, and sometimes this is easy to miss, the mitzvah that we're doing when we're saying Kaddish is a very different mitzvah than the mitzvah we do for the rest of Tefillah. There is a general mitzvah of Tefillah of Avodah Shebelev. The Rambam lists this as one of the 613. That's our general mitzvah. Kaddish is a different mitzvah. It's the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. Look at number one, please. Let's start with this pasuk. V'lotzach halelu et shem kodshi. You must not profane my name. There's the focus on the name, the shem kodshi. V'nitkadshi b'toch b'nei Yisrael. I will be sanctified. I will be sanctified amongst the Jewish people. So what's this idea of v'nikdashti b'toch b'nei Israel? So look in the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin says the focus here is on b'toch b'nei Israel. Look at number two. V'kamafar hasya. What is called public for the purpose of kiddush Hashem? So Amar Rav Yaakov, Amar Rav Yochanan. There have to be 10 people there for you to call it a Kiddush Hashem. And says the Gemara, Pshita Yisraelim Bainan. And of course, they have to be Jewish because it says, B'toch B'nei Yisrael. But do they have to be men? That's an interesting question, which we'll get to more next week, because it doesn't say betoch, you know, a sarah gvarim. It doesn't say you have to have a minion, a technical minion. It says a sarah bnei adam, and he brings the psukim at the end of the first line of number two. Dichtiv v'nigdashti betoch bnei Israel. Boy, Rabbi Yirmiyah, teshi Yisrael v'nachri echad. What if you have 9 Jews and a non-Jew? What's the din there? Tashma the Tani Rabbi Yanai achvad Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. Atya toch, there is a gzeir shava, there's a comparison with the word toch. Ksiv hachan v'nigdashti betoch b'nei Israel, I must be sanctified within the Jewish people. Ksiv hasan, and with Korach it says, hibadlu mitoch ha'eda hazot. And then Eda, there's another step to this, we know it's 10 from the Meraglim as well. And therefore you see, malahalan asara b'chol ham Yisrael, just like there you have to have 10, all that are Jewish, afkan asara b'chol ham Yisrael. And we'll look next week at the comparison between men and women on that. The truth is that all Jews, men and women alike, are commanded in this mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. Number 3, kol beit Yisrael mitzvim are Kiddush Hashem, says the Rambam, Hashem Agadol. He says it doesn't matter if you're male or female, if you're a man or a woman, there is a central mitzvah. And actually, even though we sometimes focus on the idea of dying on Kiddush Hashem, which is a mitzvah, that's an extreme version of the mitzvah. That's not meant to be the day-to-day fulfillment of the mitzvah. Number 4, the ha-mitzvah ha-tish'it, the 9th mitzvah. It's quite high on his list of 613. He should sivanu lekadesh Hashem. This is the mitzvah to be mekadesh Hashem. Vehu amra v'nikdashti b'toch b'nei Israel. The inyan zot mitzvah. What is this mitzvah all about, says the Rambam? Asher anachnu mitzuvim lefarsem. We have to do pirsum. We have to publicize ha'emuna hazot ha'amitit ba'olam. We have to take this emuna out and shout it out to the world. We'll see where the word shout comes from in a minute. We shouldn't be scared. We shouldn't be embarrassed. We shouldn't be timid. We have to say it loud and say it proud. We have to say that this is our emunah. And even if there are people who strong arm us and try and persuade us and force us and threaten us that we won't, we shouldn't do it, we cannot listen to them. We even have to die, God forbid, in order to publicize this. But that's not the real mitzvah. We'd like to do it while we're still alive. We shouldn't give people the impression that we've denied this. Even though we hold it in our hearts, we're not allowed to live as inward Jews and outward non-Jews. We have to have a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. And if anybody's ever studied the story, the history of converso communities from Spain and for Portugal in Amsterdam, they were incredibly anxious about this issue. Constantly they had great anxiety about this question as to does the fact that they're conversos, that they're living a secret Jewish life, will they be able to get a place in Olam Haba? Because they were very, very worried about this. Because this mitzvah is that we have to be outwardly Jewish and not just inwardly Jewish. And in fact, this was a very sensitive point, this issue of Olam Haba for the Amsterdam Jewish community. I'm not getting into that right now. The Ramban links it directly to shul, to going to shul. Look at number 5. This is a very beautiful Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo. There's a lot of beautiful Ramban, famous Rambans at the end of Bo. This is one which I was, for me anyway, less famous, but it's important. Number 5, but Kavanah Shekol HaMitzvahs, the real point of all the mitzvahs, Shena'amin ba'elokeinu, that we should believe, connect to God, v'noida alav, and we should thank God, be grateful to God, Shehu baranu, because created us, that we're here only because of God. And also our parents, don't forget, they're kibud av va'em, but it's a 3-part partnership. V'hi kavanas ha'yitzira, and the whole purpose of creation, She'ein lanu tam acher b'yitzira ha'rishona, there's no other purpose for having created the world. The ein kel elyon chafetz b'tachtonim, what God wants from us in this lower world, is milvad she'yeda ha'adam, that a person should know, v'yoda le'elokav she'bara'o. And they should give thanks and praise and thanks to God that we were created. V'kavanas roimamas hakol, and the idea of lifting up our voices. B'tfilos, in prayer. V'kavanas batek knesias, why do we go to shul? It's actually a very fundamental question. Why do we have shul? We don't need shul to pray. We can pray at home. The prayer is a mitzvah. If you pray in your living room, it's prayer. the purpose of going to shul, he's giving this added Kiddush Hashem angle to the prayer. For Zchut Tfilat HaRabim, the point of, and the merits of Tfilah in public, Zeh She'yeh L'Bnei Adam Makom Yitkabtzu, so that we can gather together, V'yodu L'Keil Shebar Am V'Himtziam, that we can thank God who created this for Yifarsamu, and we should give this Pirsum, this publicity, V'yomru L'Fanav, B'Briotecha Anachu, which is to say in front of God, we are your creations. V'zor kamanos b'masha amruzal, and that's why it says v'yikru el elokim b'chazaka. Okay, they cried out to God in the part, in Sefer Yonah, that they cried out loudly to God. Mikan atalama elamed, here, from here you learn, shetzfilet tzricha kol. We have to have a kol. There has to be a voice, there has to be singing, there has to be praying out loud. It's not just happening in here. Stressing a very important point. At the end of the day, the prayer, the connection with God is happening internally in the brain. But the Pirsum and the Kiddush Hashem is happening very externally. And the Rosh links this directly to things that we do in shul, in public, like Baruch Hu, like Kaddish. He doesn't mention Kaddish, but clearly this is connected as well. And Kedusha. Look at the Rosh in number 6. Tana Rabban, he quotes quite a well-known Gemara in Brochus. Rabbi Eliezer goes to shul. There are 9 men. He needs a 10th man. What is he going to do? He has with him Tevi, his slave, his Eved Kanani. So what does he do? He frees his slave on the spot and says, you're the tainter. You know, you really are the 10th man. He says, how could you do such a thing? The Amar Rabbi Yehuda, doesn't know, we know, maybe Rabbi Yehuda says, and he brings this down, if you free your Eved Kanani, that is a Torah prohibition. You're not allowed to free an Eved Kanani. Shinei Mar, it says, they have to be your Avadim forever. How can you just break a Torah mitzvah to make up a minion? Says the Rosh, mitzvah, quoting the Gemara, mitzvah the Rabin Shani. This is different. This is a public Torah mitzvah. Da'alim asay the rabbim, and the strength of a public mitzvah is stronger than the sivin ikdashti b'tokon Israel. The mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, hainu, that means asay de makachim es Hashem ba'asara b'rabbim. The mitzvah's asay that we have a minion. And this applies to women and men. It might be that technically you need the 10 men to make the minion, but once you've got the minion, the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem is on everybody. That's why women have to answer to Kaddish. A lot of women don't realize this. You know, it's the men saying Kaddish. It's not the men saying Kaddish. It's everybody saying Kaddish. Just 1 second. The Afilu Havi Milsa Darabanon. Are you going to say this is rabbinic? Baruch Hu is Darabanon. Kaddish is Darabanon. Kedusha is Darabanon. How can you break a Torah mitzvah to do a rabbinic mitzvah? There's no hint in the Torah of Kaddish and Kedusha and Baruch Hu. Afilu hachi, dachi asei v'yachid. It still sets aside the Torah prohibition of freeing the slave. The loy mistabali, it doesn't make sense to me, the Mayur ba'asara d'oraisa, that we're only talking about a d'oraisa. What? Rabbi Eliezer needed to say Parshas Zohar. That's why he freed his slave. He doesn't say that. He said he needed to dam Mariv or Shacharis or whatever it was. Yes. Hopefully. Yes, yeah, that's good. Good, well thought, though, yes.
Why doesn't the whole congregation say the
Kaddish
together?
Oh, because we'll see. The point of Kaddish is to respond. It's to respond. So how many people need to tell you to respond? One person says, praise the Lord, and everybody says, praise the Lord. You need 100 people to say, praise the Lord, for everyone to respond? We should. Ah, you mean at the beginning? No, because we'll see in a minute. Kishem Hashem Ekra. That's the pasuk we're going to go on. When I call out to God, Havu Lashem Elokeinu. Have a good Elokeinu. Thank you. You plural. Have a good Elokeinu. You have to give the praise. So that's part of that pasuk. Don't forget the idea of multiple people saying Kaddish is a compromised position just to stop the shul descending into total chaos. When you're telling me, I can't say Kaddish, and you can say for your father, and look how your father was, my father was. You know, and the whole thing. When I used to daven in monks in the Yerkesh shul in London, if a second person said Kaddish, there was only one thing worse than that in Kaddish, that if someone said, V'yatzmach prukunei, that, in fact, there was one famous case with Rabbi Feldman, Alav Shalom, in monks, when someone said, V'yatzmach, like visitor, and he cried out across the shul, he went, no! It was like, it's like, may Mashiach come. No! Like, it's like, that's, but to say, well, you had to, you know, stand in line. You know, different people had different Kaddishes, etc. So it was always one person. And we'll see next week, Kaddish was meant to be for the person who is not able to daven from the Omud. Because if you can daven from the Omud, you can say, all the Kaddish is in the davening. That's the point of Kaddish. Who's Nebuch not able to say the Kaddish is? Somebody who is not able to stand from the Omud. An orphan, a child, a 10-year-old. Maybe we'll see me a woman. A woman's not allowed to daven from the Omud. So maybe Kaddish is built for such cases where you're not able to daven from the Omud. That we'll see next week. Yes?
Rabbi Rav Tait used to insist that everyone who said Kaddish had to stand together in the front of the shul.
Right, this is quite well done now. Because people otherwise are just doing their own thing in their own pace, and there's always some guy who has to say quicker than everyone else, etc. Anyway, let's go on. We have a lot to do. We have a lot to do. Let's go. Number 7. Now for some psukim. On what is this based? So we'll start with Zechariah. This idea of Kiddush Hashem, that we're telling the world that one day the world that we live in will be a perfected world. V'hinei yom ba'al Hashem. V'chulak shlelech b'kirbech. This is not so great that there's going to be a great war, says Zechariah in Yerushalayim. V'asafte et kol goyim in Yerushalayim l'milchama. I will bring all the nations to Yerushalayim for war. V'haya b'yom ha'hu lo yeh or yikarot v'kipa'on. There will not be clear light. There will not be moonlight. There will not be sunlight. V'haya yom echad hu yivadel Hashem. It will be a day for God. Lo yom v'lo laila. It will not be light and it will not be dark. We've talked about these things before. The metaphors that it won't be clear. It'll not be clearly this. It won't be clearly that. V'haya le'ed erev yir, or towards the evening, the end of this process, there'll be some clarity. And then the famous line, V'haya Hashem le'melech akol ha'aretz, b'yom ha'hu yir Hashem echad u'shmo echad. That's the fundamental line, which we'll see, is giving rise to Kaddish. That there will be a day where Hashem's name is one. And the name of Hashem is going to be very, very important. We saw from the Pasuk of Shem Kodshi. And then, of course, Yecheskel, and these two psukim, the Zechariah Pasuk and the Yecheskel Pasuk, are what's brought by the Torah to stress this. Look at Yecheskel number 8. V'haya b'yom ha'hu, his description of that day, the same day that Zechariah is talking about. B'yom bo Gog al Admat Yisrael, the day of Gog and Magog, he talks about this. Nur Hashem Elokim ta'alech hamati ba'api, my anger will come out. V'hit gadilti, v'hit kadishti, I will be made great and I will be made holy. V'nodati le'enei goyim rabim v'yad'u ki ani Hashem. These two words, v'hit kadilti, v'hit kadishti, of course, are the founding words of Kaddish. Now, we are going to have to ask what seems like a fairly pedantic question, but actually is a very fundamental question, is when you say yitgadal v'yitgadash, first of all, should you say yitgadel v'yitgadesh? And we'll see that's actually a very fundamental question. And when you say those words, are you saying Hebrew words or are you saying Aramaic words? Now clearly here, the hitgadilti, the hitgadishti, they're Hebrew. It's Yecheskel saying this. But we'll see where we come to the Kaddish. Some other phrases that make their way into the Kaddish, Tehillim, famous Pasuk number 9, Yehishem Hashem Avorach Me'etav Yad Olam, which in the Targum of Tehillim, and I've given you a few notes about where the Targum of Tehillim comes from, translates as Yehavi Shmada Hashem Avorach V'hashta V'ad Alma. Yehashta V'ad Alma. Which is very similar to Yehei Shmei Rabba Mavorach. Again, this Targum is Yehavei Shma De Hashem. Now when we say Yehei Shmei Rabba, which we all should say in Shul, what do we say? What do those words mean? Yehei Shmei Rabba Mavarach. May the whole, the great name of God be blessed. Is that what we're saying? It's one phrase, Yehei Shmei Rabba Mavarach. Or are we saying Yehei Shmei Rabba, may God's name be great, and Mavarach Le'olam Le'olam Yolamin. Where do you put the comma? Where you put the comma is actually very important in the way that you understand what you're saying. I mean, you know, to use a tried example, let's eat grandma is different from let's eat grandma, you know? And the comma is everything, okay? So what is it, Yehei Shmei Rabba or Yehei Shmei Rabba Mavarach? So let's have a look at Tosfos. Tosfos picked this up on the Gemara, which we'll see the Gemara in Brachos. So look at number 11 for now. We'll see this Gemara in Brachos coming up soon. He says, and by the way, I want you to keep an ear open for whether these words are in Hebrew or in English. Yehei Shmei Rabba Mavorach is Aramaic. But Yehi Shmo Gadol Mavorach is Hebrew, and we'll see that the examples of Yehoshua Rabbah we're going to bring are sometimes in Hebrew, sometimes in Aramaic, sometimes Chetzi Chetzi, and we're going to have to see if we can do some sleuth work to work out what does this show you when the dating of this prayer, when it comes from. So we'll see. Look at Tosfos, number 11. So he says, Mikan Yesh List Dora Mashi Perish B'Machzav Yitri. Now we are going to end the show with this Machzav Yitri. But Machzav Yitri is one of the works to come out of the school of Rashi. Rashi and Rashi's Talmidim on Tefillah, on the liturgy. There's Machzav Yitri, the Sefer HaPardes, there's Sidur Rashi, there's Likutei HaPardes. And one of the problems with these manuscripts is they were often added to by different Talmidim over the centuries, and they weren't so well known until modern times. So you often find there's a gap that the Rishonim knew about these things, and then for the 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th century, people didn't know about them, and then they kind of came back into the mainstream. So a lot of people have a question on how much we need to focus on them, because they were absent for that period. But he quotes here the Machzav Yitri, which is not really a Machzav, by the way. Machzav Yitri is a book of halacha and hashkafa about tefillah, written by Rashi's student, Rav Simcha of Yitri, or by his school and Talmidim, etc. So let's have a look. He says, I want to refute what it says in the Machzav Yitri. Why? Because says the Machzav Yitri, Yehei Shmei Rabba. What does Yehei Shmei Rabba mean? Shezot tefillah she'anu mitpalim. This is a prayer that we make. Sheyimale Shmo, that God's name should be full. He's understanding the Machzav Yitri. It's Yehei Shmei Rabba. May God's name become great. Kedichsev, and he brings from Amalek, Kiyat al Keska. Because Amalek's hand is on the throne of Hashem, and it's quite well known that Kes obviously is a short form of Kisei, and Yud Hei is a short form of God's name. It's not the full God's name, Yud and Hei and Vav and Hei. Shelo Yehei Shmo Shalem, that God's name cannot be great, for Kis O Shalem, and his throne cannot be great, meaning his ruling in the world, his recognition as the Melech, Ad Sheyim Chazor Shel Amalek, until we wipe out Amalek. And this is the idea of Yom Ha'u Yeh Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. Shmo Echad is this broadening of the name. Upei Rishon Kein Shmei, therefore Yehei Shmei, is as follows. Shem Yud Hei. That's the word Shmei. Yehei Shmei Rabba is may the name Yud and a Hei become great, i.e. a Yud and a Hei and a Vav and a Hei. That's what we mean by Yehei. And he says, I think this is wrong, says Tosfos. But that's what Machzav Yitri says. Kalayma she'anu mitpalim she'yehei Shmo gadol v'shalem. That God's name should be expanded and complete. Umevorach and blessed. La'olam havi tefillah acheres. That's a separate tefillah. Kalayma vorach le'olam haba. Meaning, Yehei Shmei Rabba, comma, okay, he says, I don't agree with that. I don't think this is correct, says Tosfos. Because we see the phrase comes as one phrase all over the place. Mashma tefillachat, he is one tefillah. Okay, fine. We'll see at the end of the shir why this is so important and where Amalek comes in. And we'll see also Churban is part of this whole discussion, that we're evoking the idea of Amalek, that we live in a world where we're being attacked by Amalek, and we're davening that that world will be completed properly. We'll see soon how that is very central to the Kaddish and an important part of Kiddush Hashem, and very much relevant to us today. Look at number 12, just a few final things before we get into the origins of Kaddish. Some other psukim in Tanakh that made their way to create Kaddish. Number 12. Ani Daniel, so Daniel answered, Va'amale havishmei de Eloha, mevorach min alma va'ad alma. From one world to the next world. Daniel makes a very strong emphasis on not just this world, but the next world. The Chumash doesn't really talk about the next world. It's not really interested in the next world. It's much more interested in this world. By Daniel already, there's a focus on min alma va'ad alma. You see that made its way into le'olme olme olmaya, obviously. In Nehemiah as well, just after the psukim that we saw last week, where they made the public Torah reading, it says Vayomru Halavim. The Levim said in this whole gathering, Yeshua v'Kadmiel, Bani v'Chashavna v'Sheiravna v'Shiravya v'Hodia v'Shavaina. All these Levim, they said, Kumu Baruch Es Hashem Elokeichem Min Ha'Olam v'Ad Ha'Olam, from this world to the next world. And they should bless your name, even though your name is Meromam al Kol Bracha, even though your name can't be blessed. And of course, that's from the Kaddish as well. The idea of Le'elam min kol birchasa. Le'elam min kol birchasa. This is coming from this pasuk that it's higher than any blessing could be. There's nothing we could really say, but we're going to try and say it anyway. And of course, finally, in Eov, or finally for now, hamshelu pachad imo, that strength, power, and awe are with him, oseh shalom bimramav. And we're going to have to ask ourselves, why do we say oseh shalom bimramav? That's more or less the same as Yehi Shalom Rabbah Min Shamaya. We just said Yehi Shalom Rabbah Min Shamaya, and now we say again, Oseh Shalom Bimramav. Why? Because we didn't understand Yehi Shalom Rabbah Min Shamaya. So the Rashba is going to say that really Kaddish finished with Yehi Shalom Rabbah Min Shamaya. But people later didn't really speak Aramaic, so they put in another line. Oseh Shalom Bimramav, we Oseh Shalom Aleinu, from this Pasuk, obviously. But that wasn't really originally part of the Kaddish. And you can see it seems to be tacked on afterwards. That's kind of people's favorite part of the Kaddish in some ways. But it's a Hebrew line which doesn't seem to fit with the rest. Okay, so where does Kaddish come from?
We do that many times in Tefillah. They have something Aramaic
and then Hebrew. Yeah, fine. But often what we're doing is the other way around. We're taking a Pasuk in from the Torah and we're flipping it into Aramaic because we speak Aramaic better. Like in the Kedusha de Sidra, we'll see that in a minute. Here it's the other way around. We're taking something which was in Aramaic and we're retranslating it back into Hebrew. We'll see the question as to whether our Kaddish was originally in Aramaic or originally in Hebrew. Which came first? The Hebrew Kaddish or the Aramaic Kaddish? So we'll see. It's not so posh. Have a look here quickly, number 15. The Or HaShulchan says, no, Kaddish is from the same place as everywhere else. HaKaddish hu shvach gadol v'nora, shetiknu anshe knesa gadol achrei churban bayis rishon. It's from Churban Bayis Rishon, and he brings from Yecheskel. Says that's where Yecheskel gets it. That's where Yecheskel's living. Benit Kaddishti, benit Gadilti, benit Kaddishti. That's exactly where Kaddish comes from. It comes from the Churban Bayis Rishon, and that's where all the tefillah comes from. Anshei Knesset Gedolah. Says other people know. The Orchas Chaim, which of course was Rishonim, which obviously the Aruch HaShulchan I assume knew about but didn't agree with, says in number 16 he says no. The Almasha Shoilem. A lot of people ask Lama Nitkan Beloshon Arami. Why is Kaddish in Aramaic? And we'll see soon the Zohar on this as well. Yotem mikol shar tefillah, more than any other tefillah. The Yesh Laima, I want to say, he says, Shezeh Kaddish lo yitiknu anshei Knesset Gedolah. This is not from the same place as the Shemona Esrei. This is not from anshei Knesset Gedolah. Ela biyimei hatanayim nitkan. This tefillah comes from the Tanayim. Now for us, I mean, it might sound to you like that was a long time ago, but it's really not. That's not where our tefillah generally comes from the Tanaim. Our tefillah comes from much earlier, from the second base of Mikdash. This was a later tefillah. Ukidei sheivakshu kulam, and so that everybody could join in. Again, Kiddush Hashem, Belev Shalem, Tiknu b'zeh aloshen shekulam evinim. So they made it in a language which everybody could understand, so that people would be able to join in. And therefore, at what point did it actually become the Kaddish that we know and love? So here's a little hint. The Mishnah in Megillah gives us a list of all the things that require a minyan. See, what you can spot is not on that list. Okay, it's not very hard to work out. But look at number 17. It says the Mishnah in Megillah. Ein Poris in Ed Shema. These are the things you have to have a minyan for. You have for Poris Ed Shema, which we don't do anymore. This is the kind of late comers to the minyan who missed Kriya Shema and the Brachas. Someone can come and, if there's still a minyan there, and do a kind of catch-up Baruch Hu at the end. This was actually one of the origins of the Baruch Hu that we have at the end of the shul sometimes, which was from that time that the catch-up people who came late. There were always people who came late to shul. We'll see. Sometimes there were people who came early and left early, but there were always people who came late. Ein Parashim Ed Shema. There ain't Ovrim Lifnei Tevin. You can't be the chazan for Devarim Shebe Kedusha. There ain't Noisim Eskapayim. You can't do Nisias Kapayim. You can't do Duchening. There ain't Korim B'Torah. You can't read from the Torah. There ain't Maftiri B'Navin. You can't read a Haftorah. There ain't Oisim Ma'amad Moshev. This is the stops that they make at a funeral in order to say Kaddish, etc. You can't do that, although it doesn't mention Kaddish here. Now we do Kaddish. There ain't Omrim Brikas Aveilim. You can't do this special Brocha for the Aveilim, which again we don't do today. The Tanchumi Aveilim, this is the Shura that we do today. You can't do any of these things. The Brikas Chasanim. You can't have Sheva Brochas. There ain't Zamnin b'shem, you can't do a zimun with shem elokeinu, pachas masar. You have to have 10 men to do that. Kaddish is not on the list. Kaddish is not there. Why is Kaddish not there? Maybe because they didn't have Kaddish. They didn't do Kaddish yet. That's not what they were, that wasn't at least part of the shul service. We'll see soon, Kaddish is a product of the Bet Midrash, more than the Bet Knesset. Which is actually very interesting, which we'll see in a few minutes. However, if you fast forward Number 18 to Masechet Sofrim. We had last week from Masechet Sofrim a lot of discussion about Hagbah. Masechet Sofrim is already in the 7th century, maybe the 8th century. It says there, Ein Omrim Kaddish or Baruch Hu Pachas Ma'asara. Oh, what wasn't in the Mishnah, and the Mishnah could be very old, the Mishnah was edited in the 2nd century, late 2nd century, early 3rd century, but this Mishnah could have been from much earlier, could have already been from the times of the Beis HaMikdash, but what you are now found in the Masechet Sofrim is that you've got Kaddish. You can't do Kaddish with less than 10. And you see even here a hint, there's still this vestigial remains that if you don't have 10 men in the shul, there are people who want to say, well, can't you give a book to a kid or something? Can't we kind of just fudge it a little bit without 10? And I think, I can't prove this, that this is very deep ingrained. Because here already in Masechet Sofrim, it says that the rabbis in Eretz Israel said, you don't need a minion. 7 is good enough. V'yish oimrim afilu b'shisha. 6 is good enough. We don't pass and like these views, and we don't usually do the thing with a kid. Although I remember when I was younger, people were still doing that. Giving a sefer to Adam. People remember that. They don't do that anymore. I think you'll get frowned on now. But if you have the minion, 9 or 10, interestingly, and someone comes late, then you can catch up. You can do late kaddishes, late baruchus. So it's interesting, these kaddishes at the end of the tefillah that we now think of as mourner's kaddish, part of their origin is they were late kaddishes for people who missed the regular Kaddish. So they ended up tacked onto the mourners, but maybe they didn't start with the mourners. This idea of a late Baruch Hu and a late Kaddish is actually baked in much earlier. Okay, so let's have a look. We're going to do this next section very quickly because there's a lot of quite repetitive sources and I'll leave them for you to look at on your own. But where does this whole Yehoshme Rabbah idea come from? So let's have a look at number 19. This is a very appropriate source for as we go into the 3 weeks. Because it talks about the Churban. Number 19. Tanya. Amar Rabbi Yosi is quite a well-known source because this is on Brachas Daf Gimel. A lot of people who do Daf Yomi make it to Brachas Daf Gimel. It's the second Daf in Shas. So an awful lot of people have learned this Gemara. Tanya. Amar Rabbi Yosi. Pam achas hayiti mahalach b'derech. I was once walking, says Rabbi Yosi. Tanayim. One of the Tanayim. I was once walking on the road. V'nichnasi l'churva achas. I went into a derelict building. Bichurvas Yerushalayim, one of the Nevach, the derelict buildings that used to be occupied and was destroyed in the Churban, lehit palel, and I decided to daven, a davening there. Uba Eliyahu, Abba Eliyahu Zochar Atov, and Eliyahu Navi came to me, v'shameli ala petach, and he guarded on the door to check that nothing was going to happen, until I finished my tefillah. He said to me, and I cut out all the musa. He gives him and says, what are you thinking? You're davening in a churva. It's dangerous to daven in a churva. It'll fall on your head. And there's demons and shadim and who knows what. I skipped all that. That's not for us today. After he said to me as follows, Bini, my son, after he'd given him all the musa. Ma kol shamata b'churva so. What were the churva so? What did you hear? Did you hear a voice? Did you hear something in there? The Amartilai, this is a very important source because when you come back to this at the end of the year, I said to him, yes, Shemati Batkol, I heard a heavenly voice, Shinamahemes, who was moaning Kayona like a dove, like like a turtle dove, for Omerit and saying, Oi Labanim Shabon, I want to say him, Hechravti et Beisi Vasaravta et Hechali. Oi for my children that because of their sins, I've burned my house, I've destroyed my house, I've burned my temple. And they've been exiled amongst all the nations. The Amar Li and Eliyahu then said to me, he says, Chayecha, the Chay Roshecha. He says, I'm telling you, Lo Shazo Bilvad Omer Kach. That's something you picked up now in the Churva. But this is not something which is only there. By the way, the reason that we, I think, feel very comfortable calling the Churva Shul the Churva, it's not just because it was destroyed and rebuilt. Lots of shuls were destroyed and rebuilt. Because the idea of davening in a churva is a very strong thematic idea. We see this here. It's not only then that you hear this voice. Every day, 3 times a day, the signal comes out from Shamayim that God is bemoaning the Golas. The loss of Bilvad. And not only that, that when the Jews come together in Shul and in the Bet Midrash, and they say, Yehei Shmei Hagadol Mevorach. Again, interesting hybrid. Yehi Shmei, Aramaic. Hagadol Nevorach, Hebrew. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Menane Rosh, God shakes his head, as it were, the Omen. It says, Ashrei HaMelech Shemekalsim Oiso BeBeisokach. Happy is the king for whom they praise him in such a way. Malo La'av Sheiglai Banav. What's the father going to do who has exiled his children? Oy Lahem Lebanim Shegalo Ma'al Shulchan Avihem. How terrible for the children. Meaning this is a point of reconciliation between God and the Jewish people. Yehei Shmei Rabbah Mevorach. A very important part of the service, in the sense that it arouses this passion, if you like, between the people and God, reconnecting them to remedy the golus. Rabbi Yossi comes back and says another very interesting parallel thing. What is this phrase? When are we meant to be saying it? Yehei Shmei Rabbah. Interestingly, he didn't say Amei Yehei Shmei Rabbah. He just said Yehei Shmei Rabbah. Is this part of another back and forth? Look here in the Sifrei, number 20, quite an early source of Sifrei. This was your point before. When I cry out to God, you must respond. Plural, you. Rabbi Yose Omer, same thing. Rabbi Yose says, Minayin la'omdim bebeis haknesses fa'omrim. If people say, if you're standing in shul and someone says, Baruch Hu es Hashem ha'mavorach, how do you know she'olim acherim have that everyone has to say, Baruch Hashem ha'mavorach le'olam va'ed? Because of this posik. Kishem Hashem ekra havu gedol le'im. Uminayin she'olim ameinach ha'mavorach, ha'mavorach. How do you know that when someone says a brocha, you have to say amen to the brocha? Again, shenei ma havu gur elokeinu. Uminayin la'omrim, and how do you know that when someone says, Yehei shmo hagadol mevorach, she'olim achreim, that you answer after them, le'olam le'olmei olamim. Same posuk. Now, this is not what we do. Was this an early version of Kaddish? What did he say? When you hear the speaker say, Yehei shmo hagadol mevorach, everybody has to answer in and chime in together. Le'olam u'le'olmei olamim. Now, again, we don't do this today. But this sounds like it's parts of the Kaddish. But it seems like it was a different type of version of the Kaddish where the reader was saying, Yehei Shema Gadol Mevorach, and everybody chimes in, Le'olam u'le'olmei olamim, etc. I brought you in 21 an idea which we don't pass in, like that you can even answer Amen Yehei Shmei Rabbah if you're in the middle of the silent Shmona Esrei. The Gemara raises that question. Can you even ask? We don't pass in that way. We pass in that you have to listen. You have to stop. When they're saying Amen Yehei Shmei Rabbah, you have to stop in your silent Shmona Esrei and listen. If it's one of the Amen Yehei Shmei Rabbahs for the Kaddish, which is the seven compulsory Kaddish in the day, three in Shacharis, two in Mincha, and two in Ariv, if it's one of those, you should stop and listen. But this Gemara says maybe you should even answer. It's so important. Question? Okay, but we don't do that. Number 22. Ha'ayna Yehei Shmei Rabbah Mevorach. If someone says Yehei Shmei Rabbah, Muchtahu Shel Ben Olam Haba. This is your ticket to Olam Haba. I mean, I think you have to do other things as well. But it's going to be a very deciding factor in you get into Olam Haba. Flip over to number page 5. I told you I'm going to do these quite quickly because there's some, I think, more important stuff at the end. Amri Bishu Ben Levi. Kala Ayna Amen Yehei Shmei Rabbah Mevorach. Anyone who says Amen Yehei Shmei Rabbah Mevorach, Bekol kocho, with all your strength, which Rashi says, Bekol kavanasa, with all your intention. And Tosafot says, Bekol ram, with a strong voice. Kairilo gzardino, he tears up your gzardin, and I brought you this in Shulchan Aruch as well, in number 24, it's brought down. Yesh lechavein ba'aniyat ha-kaddish, you have to have kavona to answer to Kaddish, ula oinas oisa bakol ram, and you have to answer loud. You don't have to scream like a meshuggah. That's not right either. They bring down, and the Mishnah Berurah brings down, not crazily loud, but loud enough that you're getting yourself excited, you're getting everyone else excited, and the Shulchan Aruch says, ul hishtadil larutz, and you have to run to shul, kedei lishmar Kaddish, in order to get a Kaddish. Kaddish is really important. To hear Kaddish, to answer Yehei Shmei Rabbah. Not saying to say Kaddish, I'm not talking about mourner's Kaddish. But we're talking about the idea of hearing a Kaddish, saying out loud again, a Torah mitzvah. And again, till I did this research, I never really thought when you're saying Yehei Shmei Rabbah, Yoshua Kavona, I'm Mekayim the mitzvah Doraisa of Kiddush Hashem. This is a beautiful way to have Kavona for a mitzvah that we can do on a daily basis. Number 26, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Oymer, Mishum Rabbi Yeshua. Miyam Shecharav Beis HaMikdash. From the day the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Ein Yom She'ein Bo Klala. There's not been a day that didn't have its own Nebuch, its own terrible curse. The Gemara picks up on this, number 27. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Oymer, Shimon Rabbi Yeshua, quotes this Mishnah. I'm a Rav. B'chol Yom V'yom, and on every day, Merubba Klalasai Mishel Chaveru, that it gets worse than the day before. Every day you think, well, tomorrow, at least tomorrow could be better. And tomorrow comes along, and it's like even worse. I don't know about you, but I've sometimes been feeling a bit more like this over the last few months. I never used to feel like this. But you think, well, maybe tomorrow will be better. And it's not always better. Ezrat Hashem, it should be better. So he quotes a pasuk here. Shene'emar ba'boker toma mi yiten erev. In the morning you'll say, I wish it was the evening. Ube'erev toma mi yiten boker. In the evening you'll say, I wish it was the morning. Hi boker, which morning are you wishing for? Says the Gemara. Ile ma'boker del machar. If you're saying, I wish it were tomorrow morning, then why? It might be worse tomorrow morning. So, but what are you really saying? Ela the Khalif, you're saying, I wish it was already this morning that went. Meaning, I thought this morning was bad. But now I looked at the news this evening. I wish I'd stuck it this morning and not looked at the news this evening. Okay? So what should be? So how is the world even surviving? If it's just getting worse and worse and worse every single day, how are we even surviving? Akadusha the Sidra of a Yehashme Rabba. The Agadata. The Yehashme Rabba that you say, the Kudusha de Sidra is Uvalet Sion that we say at the end of the davening, although this may be also a reference to Kaddish Drabbonon, but Yehashme Rabba da Agadata, when they say in the shul, when the Rav is saying Drash Agadata, then there's this idea of the Yehashme Rabba, that's keeping the world going. And Rashi, you can look at it on your own, in number 28, he says, this idea, you have Talmud Torah and Kiddush Hashem together. Why Dafka Agadata? It's an interesting question. I was going to go into this in more detail. I didn't have any more space for more sources. But why is it so special that we do this mitzvah Kiddush Hashem Agadata? And I'm not sure, but I think the answer is because you get more people coming to Shiurim in Agadata. There's another Gemara, I didn't bring it on the sheet, where two of the Amoraim are talking to each other. One is complaining and saying, look, I give a shiur in Halacha, and like three people come, and you give a shiur in Hashkafa, and like hundreds of people come to your shiur for inspiration. He says, what's going on there? So he makes him feel better. He says, it's like the difference between someone who's coming to town selling trinkets and someone who's selling diamonds. Someone who's selling trinkets for 2 shekels each, hundreds of people are looking to get them. But someone who's selling diamonds, it's only discreet buyers who are looking for diamonds. I think he's just trying to make him feel better. But the idea is that Agadata is a mass event. You do Kedusha, or the Kiddush Hashem on Agadata because there's hundreds of people there. Yes?
The Torah for saying
Kaddish? No, the idea, the Gemara is saying that it's Israel, but the Gemara is saying that how can the world survive when things are just getting worse and worse and worse? It must be the Kaddish Durabbonon that people say in the Gadata. So it could be the earliest actual Kaddish that we had was Kaddish Durabbonon. Well, we called it a Kaddish Durabbonon. Al Talmidei, which is basically giving a bracha. The Baruch Hashem, we have Talmidei Chachamim that can give Drash. And people like Drash. People are into Drash. People get excited about Drash, and therefore the mitzvah there as well. I brought you 29 and 30, which I'm not going to look at now. This is the famous Midrash that says when Yaakov comes to his deathbed and he says, I'm going to tell you what's going to be at the end of days, and then he suddenly goes blank. And the Midrash says he looked at the boys and said, maybe there's someone here who's checking out, and that's why I've lost my Ruach HaKodesh. And they say to him, Shema Yisrael, listen, our father Israel. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. We're on message. We're in. And he responds, Baruch Shem Kavod Machatzo LeOlam Va'ed, which is why we respond in davening after Shema Yisrael, Baruch Shem Kavod Machatzo LeOlam Va'ed, which is how can we not say? Yaakov said it, how can we not say? But what's the translation in the Yerushalmi, Targum Yerushalmi, not the Gemara Yerushalmi, but Targum Yerushalmi of Baruch Shem Kavod Machatzo LeOlam Va'ed? Yehei Shmei Rabba Mavaruch LeOlam Olam. Fascinating, no? So that phrase again, Yehei Shmei Rabba, comes up again and again and again. Okay, let's skip down, I think, to D, because I want to give this some proper time. The other sources I've brought you, fascinating sources. There's a beautiful Gemara in Koheles, a Midrash from Koheles. Maybe just look at Koheles. I can't resist looking at Koheles. Look at number 32 for a second. Number 32. And again, we'll go a little bit slower on the next section. Says Koheles, Ir Katana. I'll tell you a story. There's a moshel. There's a little town, Va'anashim Va'ma'at, and there's 30 few people there. Uba'aleha Melech Gadol, and there's a great king who comes. V'savavot, and he surrounds the city. Ubana Aleha Metzodim Gadolim, and he makes a siege against the city. Umatzaba Ish Miskein Chacham, and they find a Nebuch. Nebuch Chacham there, umileto it's this little miskein. He saves the whole city. B'chachmosoi, the Adam lo zacharis ha'isha. Nobody remembers ha'isha miskein. Nobody remembers him. So the Midrash says, who is this man? This man is the chazan in your shul. If you think your chazan is a Nebuch,
We've got a proof from the Pasuk. It says the Chazan. It says, listen, the Chazan is standing there. The Jewish people are suffering because they're standing before God with all their mishigasim and all their craziness, and they're talking in shul and they're messing around. And there's one person, either the Chazan or the Rav, who gives a drosha. He's able to get everyone to turn around and say, Yehei Shmei Rav Mavarach. That's the Ish HaMiskein who saved you all. You don't even realize he saved you all, but he's pulled you out from all of the mess. And I thought that was a very beautiful idea. All Chazanim should, and rabbis and shuls who are feeling, I must tell you a story. Being a rabbi in a shul is sometimes a very disheartening task. I've never been a shul rabbi, but one of my shul rabbis from England said to me once, he gave a drasha, and one of his congregants said to him afterwards, Rabbi, you're talking nonsense, that's not true. He wasn't a particularly polite individual. And so the rabbi was very, said to him, how do you know that I'm talking nonsense? He says, listen, Rabbi, you may think, I quote directly, you may think that I don't know anything, but I've read the Shulchan Baruch from cover to cover. And so the Rav, is it the Shulchan Baruch? And I want someone to introduce me to this great sefer, the Shulchan Baruch. So all the mishigasim the rabbis have to put up with, then this can save the people. Right, now, in the last 15 minutes, let's look at the text, the original text. And here I'm going to be just a little bit cheeky. I hope you don't mind. It's not clear whether the actual original text was Hebrew or not Hebrew. Was it, did it start in Hebrew and translate to Aramaic, or did it start in Aramaic and translate to Hebrew? There is evidence in different directions, and I brought you an article from Rav Yoel Elitzur. Rav Yoel Elitzur wrote an article in Tchumim. Don't turn the page yet. You've got something else to do on page 6. He wrote an article in Tchumim claiming that the original Kaddish was in Hebrew, and he wanted to try and recreate the original Kaddish. One of the proofs he brought is that a lot of the quotes from the different Gemaras and Midrashim of Yehei Shmei Rabbah are a mixture. Some are in Hebrew, some are in Aramaic, some are in both. And I put at the bottom of the, in footnote 17, he wanted to recreate a Hebrew-only Kaddish, claiming that was the original Kaddish. Maybe not exactly his version. What prompted him to engage in this venture? So those who may remember when Yitzhak Rabin was assassinated, and they buried him. So his son, Yuval Rabin, who I don't know what he is now, maybe he's a Rav in a shul somewhere now, but he was at that point a fairly secular Jew without a lot of education. They called him up to say Kaddish, and he butchered the Kaddish. He couldn't say the words. He just couldn't say, because it looks strange. You take put a Kaddish in Aramaic in front of a... but he's from Israel. It's not some guy from Montana who's just been told to read this. He grew up in Israel, and there was a major debate. This is the terrible state of our education. They can't even say Kaddish. You should be teaching kids. And others said, well, no, maybe this is a sign that it's time to put the Kaddish into a language that people do understand. The whole point of it being in Aramaic is it was a language people understood. Now if you want to make a public Kiddush Hashem, maybe it should be in Hebrew. So he wants to claim maybe it was in Hebrew. It's not clear. There are some scholars who make the point that Kaddish, or phrases from Kaddish, are very reminiscent of the Lord's Prayer in Christian sort of worship. Now, you may not have grown up in public school. If you went to public school, actually in America, probably you didn't get to say the Lord's Prayer because it was a separation of church and state. But I went to a public school in England, and we had to do the whole works. So if you don't know what the Lord's Prayer is, you can look it up afterwards online. It's actually in Matthew, and it's in Luke as well. And I put you in the footnotes some remarkable comparisons that if you actually say the Lord's Prayer in Aramaic, it does sound a little bit like you're saying Kaddish. You can look afterwards. You can see the different things. Avu andi bishmaya, our Father who is in heaven. Yitkadash shmei Rabbah, his hallowed be thy name. And you can go through the whole thing. Now, there are people who want to suggest that, and this is speculative, I think. Some scholars want to suggest that maybe there was an original prayer written by an Essene group. Whoever the Essenes were in Yerushalayim, maybe they were related to the Dead Sea Scroll people as well. And they had a prayer. And some of them became Christian, and some of them came back to the fold and became Pharisaic again. And the ones who became back to the Pharisees, the prayer became Kaddish, and the one who became Christian, the prayer became the Lord's Prayer. I have no idea whether that's true or just a scholarly speculation. There's a lot of academic scholarship, which is speculation. But there's no question that there's a lot of reminiscence as well. And other prayers from benching, Hu notei lechem lechol basar, lahavdil, give us this day our daily bread, etc. Slach lanu avikicha. You could go through the whole thing. So forgive me for being a little bit cheeky. You didn't pay money to come to the OU to say the Lord's Prayer. But nevertheless, it's there, and it's very hard to ignore. Added to which, we now have a very interesting question about Aramaic. And this, I think, is that for the last 10 minutes of the shiur, we need to really think about this. Why pray in Aramaic? So look at number 35. Tefillah b'chol lashon. The Gemara said, you can daven in any language you like. Really? Gemara said, Rabbi Yehuda says, you should never ask for what you need from Shamayim in Aramaic. Never ask in Aramaic. Da'amar Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan says, kol ha'shel tzracha v'loshan arami, if you daven for what you need in Aramaic, ein malchei asharis niskakim loy, the malachim are not interested in you. V'fishe ein malchei asharis makirim v'loshan arami. Because the angels don't speak Aramaic. So if you want to daven, you need the angels on your side. And we had a whole shir on this when we talked about machnise rachamim, if you remember this. Most people need the angels to schlep their tefillahs up to Shamayim. And if you speak in Aramaic, the angels don't get it. They only speak Hebrew, or they speak every language apart from Aramaic, depending on how you learn it. So don't daven in Aramaic. So the Gemara here says it's different if you're a yachid or a tzibur. A yachid needs the angels' help. A tzibur doesn't. The tzibur goes straight through. Yes? Yeah, that's not a prayer. That's an invitation to people. Sorry, that's a declaration. I thought we were saying called Dikvin. A declaration that you're making your. It's not a prayer. Please, God, my chometz should be hefker. You're declaring your chometz hefker. And you don't have to say it in Aramaic. You say it in English, if you like. And you don't need the malachim's help to make your chometz hefker. So I don't think that's a problem. And another Gemara in number 36. Amarava Barbar Chana. He says, when I went with Rabbi Eliezer and he went to be Mavakeh Cholim, sometimes he said it in Hebrew, sometimes he said it in Aramaic. And the Gemara says, how did he say it in Aramaic? Everybody knows that you don't daven for people in Aramaic, because the Malachim don't speak Aramaic. So the Gemara there answers, no, it's different with a Chola, certainly someone who's seriously sick. The Shekhinah is there. The Shekhinah is with them. And therefore, you don't need to worry about the malachim. You don't need the malachim because they're not part of that process. So what's going on here? What's that got to do with Kaddish? Because Kaddish we dafka say in Aramaic. Mostly in Aramaic. So do we want the malachim on our side? Or do we not want the malachim on our side? Are we bypassing the malachim? Because we seem to be using a language which is not a normal language for prayer. So Tosfos say that there are people who say this. Number 37. The Gamma Sha'arim Ha'olam. He quotes, interesting. Who does Tosfos quote? He quotes the Olam. The Olam say, you know, as they say in Yeshiva, the Olam, either the Olam are Gedolim, the Olam people are great, or the Olam is a Golem. Or as they would have said to me, the Olam is a Galem. When I remember as a child being called a Galem all the time, he's a Galem, this Galem, that Galem. Anyway, fine. That was the way that education went in the 1970s. Okay, fine. The Gam Sha'arim Ha'olam. People out there say, this is why we say Kaddish in Aramaic. It's a really beautiful tefillah. And therefore we say it in Aramaic, dafka so the malachim won't understand. And they'll be jealous and they'll stop the tefillah. This is really interesting. Because now the malachim are working against us. Tosfos quote. Normally, when I'm davening, the malachim are on my side, or at least I hope so, and I need some friends where, you know, in high places, and they help my tefillah get there. And again, this is problematic. Are you allowed to daven through? The Rambam wouldn't be impressed, etc. But when it comes to Kaddish, Kaddish is such an amazing prayer. When the Jewish people say Kaddish, the malachim get grumpy. And they say, no, this, we're not having this. You're in Galus, guys. You know, you are not meant to be reaching this level of connection to God. And they're going to jump in there and they're going to stop the Kaddish from working. And therefore, Dafka says, Tosfos, people say that's why we say it in Kaddish. So the Malachi won't get involved. He says, hey, no nira. And he said, I don't think that's right. Really? Shahari Kamen Tzvilas Yafa Shehem B'Loshem Ivri. You're telling me that the most beautiful prayers are only in Aramaic? We pray some beautiful prayers in Hebrew. We're not worried the malachim are going to start getting, you know, coming against us. And he says it's nothing to do with the malachim. The reason we pray, we say Kaddish in Aramaic is really simple, that it was a prayer for Kiddush Hashem. We needed the public in, we needed people to understand it, and therefore it was critically important that we said it in a language that people understood. Simple as that. And the Rashba says the same thing in number 38. I brought you just which words are English and which are Hebrew and which are Aramaic. But the Rashba in number 39 says the same idea. Aramaic was the original language of Kaddish because people spoke Aramaic. Later on, they allowed people to add in Osa Shalom Bim Romav because they didn't speak so much Aramaic. But they said it in Aramaic, he goes like Tosfos, that this was the original language. However, we have a problem, and I want to speak about this problem for 5 minutes. If you ever go to shul and you hear people say Kaddish, and every now and then you'll hear people say Yidgadel v'Yidgadesh. Actually, it's almost never heard in Israel. It's always Yisgadel v'Yisgadesh. I'm not aware of any Israelis who do this. Rav Soloveitchik said Yisgadel v'Yisgadesh. Others in the Soloveitchik family said it. The Mishnah Brura seems to paskin that way. Number 40. Have a look at this. And this is where it gets, I think, really interesting. Says the Mishnah Brura, number 40. Nusach HaKadosh it Yidgadel v'Yidgadesh. And you'll see in a minute where he says that, the Tehri from. Shehusud al pi hamikra. It's based on a posik v'Hitgadilti v'Hitgadishti. It's based on Yechezkel. Ha'amur le'inim l'chemes Gog u'Magog. She'az Yidgadel. Then when that war happens, then God's name will be great. Yidgadel Shemo, Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Dichsiv, Vayom Ha'hu Yeh Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. Fine. Vayomer HaDalet, by the way, people say Dalet. There's no such letter as Dalet. Just like there's no such letter as Aleph, if you're Ashkenazi. If you're Ashkenazi, it's Olaf, not Aleph, okay? And if you're Ashkenazi, it's Dallas, as in the town in Texas. It's not Dalet. Okay, Dallas is with a suff. Dallas.
Never heard that.
It's yeah, Dallas. There's no one anywhere does it say Dalet has a Dalet at the end of the Dalet. Okay, so you see, but Yoma Hadalas the Yiskadel v'Yiskadesh, but Seiri. You have to say it with an A. Kihu Ivri v'lo Targum. It's not Targum. It's not Aramaic. It's Hebrew. The first two words Yidgadel v'Yidgadesh is Hebrew, and then Shmei Rabba. Then we go straight into Aramaic. Interesting. Where's he getting that from? He gets it from the pre-Megadim. The pre-Megadim actually originally says the opposite. He says you should say Yitgadal v'Yitgadash. But then he says, but there's another opinion. That's what the Mishnah Brura brings down. And that's why anyone you see now that says Yitgadel v'Yitgadash, they're almost certainly coming off this Mishnah Brura. Number 41. The Amiras HaKadosh, says the pre-Megadim. The pre-Megadim is living in the 1700s, 18th century Poland. The Amiras HaKadosh Yitgadel v'Yitgadav v'Yitgadash. Hashem HaPosik is from v'Yitgadati v'Yitgadashti. The Aramit, it is in Aramaic. Based time, and he gives different reasons why it's in Aramaic. Because of Ozbeis Yosef, Hashem HaZohar is it. And I want to quote you a Zohar. V'Tochin Kavanah, it means as follows. Kimach Rizin She'yelchu HaKol Letzad. What is Kaddish? Is we're announcing everybody should go to the side. Ki HaMelech Hashem Tzevakot Yavo. Because God's coming. Everybody has to move aside, gentlemen, because God is now coming, as it were. Utsarich lahachriz b'lishonam, and you have to say that to people in language they understand. Ki loshen hakodesh hu kodosh v'tar, because loshen hakodesh is too holy. The hoi poloi, they don't know loshen hakodesh. V'aramit yeshbo achize lesitra achra, and Aramaic has a hold in it from the dark side, from the other side. The Sitra Achra, and I'm not one of your local Kabbalists, so I'm not getting too into this, but one of the big ideas of Aramaic, it's a way of dealing with the Sitra Achra. We don't regard the Sitra Achra as some kind of demonic, dualistic figure. We regard it as an opportunity and as something we need to deal with, we need to be aware of, we can work around, we can work with the Sitra Achra. And therefore the idea of using Aramaic is it's a lower Kedusha language because it connects more with the Sitra Achra. And therefore if you look at the Zohar and the Kabbalistic ideas, they have a lot to say about Kaddish. Kaddish is Aramaic because you're engaging, says the Zohar, with the Sitra Achra. And that's the whole power of it. You're not going straight with a Lashon HaKodesh. You're doing something in Aramaic. And then he says at the end, V'ra'isi b'sidu maharav ha'madakdik ha'godol menabereinu harav shlomo hena. So he quotes from this lesser known Rav from the early 1700s, Rav Hana, Rav Hena, Rav Shlomo Hena, who was a grammarian. He says Yitgadel v'Yitgadesh with an A, not with an A. And that is what the Mishnah Brura is following. Interestingly, the Vilna Gaon apparently also said Yitgadel v'Yitgadesh. It's brought down in Maaseh Rav, Although it's not quite clear whether that was actually the minhag of the Vilna Gaon. But I want to finish with one last piece, which is an old Ashkenazi piece. Remember the Machzor Vitri at the beginning? We mentioned the Machzor Vitri. And Tosva said, I'm not going to go with the Machzor Vitri. The Machzor Vitri said that Yehei Shmei Rabbah is may we make God's name, Shem Yud Hei, into a full name. So look at what's going on here. This, I think, is fascinating. I'll leave you with this. Let's do this quickly. We have a minute or two left. Ukeshashamea ha Kodesh Baruch Hu Shisrael Ma'arimim. When God hears that the Jews are Ma'arimim, are, if you like, working around, finding a way to get through, almost tricking their way through, but in a good way. Lahaski lafanav oisa shvur shenishba al Amalek. And then we're referring to the idea of Amalek. La'abed zichron, we want to destroy Amalek. Umit palalinu mavakshim lefanav, and we're davening in front of God. Le'gadel shem yud kei b'hatoisafes vav kei, that we want to make the name whole. Yehei shmei rabbah. She'aziyah Hashem anechbat shalem, and then the God name of God will be shalem. K'sheshaneh HaKadosh Baruch Hu kach, when God hears this, she'bekol koicho kavanasam einim zev, that we answer with all our koach and all our kavanah hashvach, all this praise, mitnaneh, that's when the Gemara in Brochas, he shakes his head and says, oy lehem lebanim shegolim me'al shulchan avim, etc. Humalo la'av shemekasim esoy beveisoy, v'hu rachka me'al shulchanoy, ve'al kein rava etzel le'mala, ba'oysa shah. This is There's a time of great mourning in Shemayim, a great recollection of the Golas that we're in, because the Yehei Shmei Rabbah is, we're mentioning Amalek, these murderous people who want to, who make a great chilul Hashem. Shehichis klapei mala v'garim l'shem anichman l'noish yichalek. Now, last paragraph. Ukesheroi malchei hasharis. This is from the Kolboy of Machzor Vitri as well. When the Malachim see zeh ha'etzev, that there's such terrible sadness in Shemayim, and we're about to have the Geula, we're about to end the Golas. Bizdazim in the tribe, they become distressed. Because don't forget, who are the Malachim? The Malachim are Midat Hadin. They are the people who, they are the systems people. Ki einam yoidim al ma'oisa etze balamalu. They don't know what's going on. The fisha einam avinim loshan aramit. Because they don't speak Aramaic. And he goes therefore and says, and therefore we start and we say in Hebrew, Yitgadel the Yitgadesh. And the Malachim understand Hebrew. And everything becomes, there's a great tumult in Shemayim, and then we go straight into Aramaic, Shemei Rabbah, and they suddenly blank out, and they don't know what's going on, and they can't oppose it, meaning this whole thing is designed as a scheme in order to arouse Rachamim in Shemayim, avoid the Malachim, mention Amalek, bring Geula, and Bayom Ahu Yeh Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. There's an awful lot going on with Aramaic, and there's an awful lot going on with Kaddish. So this is our, if you like, beginning foundation. Next week, Be'ezrat Hashem, we're going to look at Mourner's Kaddish, which is where most people say Kaddish, and the issues that we talked about before. But I think, I hope I've given you food for thought. And next time when you go to shul, men and women, and you say Yehei Shmei Rabbah, you can think of what you want to have in mind, and whether the Malachim are on side or not. Okay, I wish you a wonderful week. You know something? The Jewish people are clever, they can work it out.